There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, Chase McKay, Derek Mason, and Almost Friday in downtown Nashville, 4th Avenue and Peabody in the Holiday Inn Hotel, and Willie Donick is in Anaheim, California. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. I see two guys on hold. Chris Sanders, Kelly Holcomb here with us. I don't see one George Plaster yet. What's up with that?
Hey, Kelly talks a lot of trash about Willie and everything, but he comes on every day and he talks to Willie every Thursday. I think he secretly he secretly appreciates Willie as being the commissioner. I think you do, Kelly.
Wow, now that's an interesting theory. That's an interesting.
I think he just has respect for the. I think he has respect for the contest.
I like Willie as a dude, man. He's a great guy, man. But like as a commissioner, he's not very good.
Hey Willie, I think he secretly wishes you can hold on to the commissioner job.
You want me on that wall.
Exactly.
You need me on that wall.
I just.
You can't handle the truth, boss.
I just think at this point we don't have a choice anymore.
Oh,
absolutely.
Man.
That's just kind of where we're at. By the way, I just had a moment of deja vu. I feel like we've had this conversation before. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. We're efforting George, so who knows? He might be at, getting a quesadilla or something at lunch, but we'll try and chase him down. But without further ado, I turn things over to the commissioner, William Donick. Oh, Willie D.
Willie D. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome in. This is your commissioner speaking. Silly Underdog Picks 2022, brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and of course, Superbook Sports. This will be the final week of competition for our panel. Let's
Thank
take
God.
A look first.
Amen.
Let's take a look at the online competition. It was a light scoring week, not a ton of games and not a ton of upsets last week. So David Murphy won the online competition. He hails from Goodlettsville. It was a tie, and he won the tiebreaker. So congratulations to David. The most popular pick by far was Middle Tennessee.
Oh,
their
yeah.
Victory over San Diego State. 60% of our audience took Middle Tennessee as one of their picks. The next most popular was the Eagles against the Cowboys. They fell a little bit short. And then the third most popular was the Packers. And they did pull the upset against the Dolphins. So congrats to our winner. And we'll have one more shot this week. Now, let's get to a review of what happened last week. Chase McCabe. Now, first, we need to tidy up a little business from the week before. Remember, Derek Mason had Middle Tennessee. It was eligible to be picked the week before, but the game had not been played yet. And, of course, Middle's win gives him 7 more points. So he creeps up a little closer. Derek right now is behind Chris Sanders. He's still got an outside shot, even though Chris has had a commanding lead for most
Thank
of the
you,
season
sir.
Here. So we'll get. Let's now.
I don't think we can get. Like, how do we give that to Derek? I mean, he messed up. Like, we can't. Let him
I didn't mess up, Kelly. I only went by the rules that were set by the commissioner. The commissioner set the rules.
I mean, make a judgment, commission. Let's go. That should not be allowed.
Yeah. Look. Willie is like NASCAR. He makes the rules up as he goes. That's just kind of where we're at.
Hey, Commission, well, I'm with you on that one, okay? I'm with you.
I feel good about the integrity of the competition. I feel good about the integrity.
Don't.
That game was on the slate in week 16. Derek took it. It just hadn't been played by the time we gathered last week. So it was eligible. Derek gets the 7 points from the Blue Raiders. Now, Week 17, here's what happened. Chase took North Carolina, the first pick, 14.5-point dogs against Oregon. Man, they played well last night. Man, they played well. They had the lead until the final 4th-and-2, and Oregon scored. And then this was the thing. If you missed this game last night, I happen to be watching. Oregon scores to tie the game at 27. They need an extra point to win it with 19 seconds to go. And the guy hits the upright. And it bounces in. So some of the looks on the sideline were just priceless. So Oregon did pull it out 28-27, but North Carolina played very, very well. You should have won that one, Chase.
I'll tell you this. Drake May, that kid is legit. I mean, they had the ball past the 50, and I thought he was going to overthrow the end zone. Like
they decided to throw the Hail Mary instead of like a 58 or 59-yard field goal to win it. They got down there. It was pretty crazy. But he is a player, no question about it. So UNC falls just short. So Chase, unfortunately, no points for the cover. That's how this contest works.
No points.
Kelly had UCF, a 3-point dog against Duke. That game played yesterday.
Wow.
Duke
won
easily, 30-13. Duke 9-4. How many people listening could name off the top of your head the head coach for Duke? Kind of a no name. Like, hey, who's Duke got? What's Duke got? They won 9 games. They had a really, really good year. They whipped UCF 30-13. So, unfortunately, no points for Kelly there.
Yeah, thanks, Willie. That game sucked.
Flaz had Texas Tech, a 3.5-point dog against Ole Miss. Really touching moment. Last night they had the intentional delay of game in honor of the late Mike Leach, who once upon a time coached Texas Tech, of course, as you remember. And, of course, Ole Miss declined the penalty. And then Texas Tech went on and rolled against Ole Miss. 42-25 was the final, so Plaz picks up 3.5. D-Mace had Coastal Carolina taking on East Carolina. That seemed like a good pick, but, man, the Pirates rolled it. 53-29. 53. 29. Yikes.
Well,
Chris Kramer is the leader. Yeah, he needed. So D-Mace needed points. He didn't get them there. Chris was looking to put it away with Utah State. 7-point dogs against Memphis.
That was terrible.
That was also a blowout. The Memphis Tigers ended up closing out their season on a high note. 38-10 was the final there. Chris then came back with the Colts, a 4.5-point dog against the Chargers on Monday night. Oh, what a snoozer that was. So Chris comes up empty on his 2 games.
You could have
sealed it, Chris.
All. That's all.
Then D-Mace needing points. Mm-hmm. He went with 7 to try to creep closer to Chris. He went with the Washington Commanders. 7-point dogs against the 49ers. No, sir. 49ers right now, too tough, especially on defense. And the Niners get the W. So D-Mace still is now 14.5 points back.
Okay.
I should say, Yep. So you got to do the math here of your next 2 picks, D-Mace. He's got 111. You got 96.5.
Oh, I'm gonna get it.
Now, sir.
Let me get it. Flaz
had the Eagles 5.5-point dogs against the Cowboys. Gardner Minshew played well. They were right in position. A Miles Sanders fumble late hurt the Eagles, and the Cowboys pulled it out. Then Kelly had the Giants, a 4-point dog against the Vikings up in Minnesota. Giants were right in there. Tie game, the Vikings hit a long field goal, 61 yards to win it on the last play of the game. So Kelly comes up empty there. And then Chase on Christmas Day had the Packers against the Dolphins, 4-point dogs. Packers were behind in that game 20-10, came back and won it. Of course, Tua had the issues with the concussion. He's in the protocol now. He finished the game with 3 consecutive interceptions, and the Packers get the comeback win. And somehow the Packers are still alive in the playoff chase because of that, lo and behold.
And the Dolphins have just completely collapsed.
Yeah.
And I understand, you know, I hope Tua is okay. I'm really worried about his future. I mean, if that's 3 concussions this year for him, that's not good.
So here are the standings after 17 weeks. So the final week coming up, Chris has a 111, D-Mace with 96.5. Kelly holding in third at 69, Plaz at 54, and Chase at 51.5. So, Chase,
really,
one more week to get out of the cellar.
Hey, you gotta fight for something. Hey, man, you got to play for something.
I need it. We'll see.
All right. So when we come back, the final picks. So you have the rest of the bowl slate and then this week's NFL football game. So you got one of each, and then that will be it for the Silly Underdog competition. Stay tuned. The picks are coming up next. Silly Underdog Picks, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, the final week of competition. Also brought to you by Superbook Sports. So Chase McKay will be cross-checking the official lines on these picks. So, going into the final week, Chris with 111. D-Mace with 96.5. So he is in striking range, but he needs a big week, and he does not need Chris to win another game here. Let's see how Chris plays this, because he likes to go for the big ones. Let's see if he goes short at all to try to just inch ahead to make sure he gets enough points to hold on to the title, which would be his second in the last 3 years. Kelly Holcomb,
thank you, sir.
Also a champion at 69 points. Plaz with 54. Chase McCabe with 51.5. All right, let's begin the competition. Kelly Holcomb has the first pick.
We can scan a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
I'm ready for some football.
Well, D-Mace, I'm for you, man.
Okay.
I hope you I'd give you my pick if I could, man. If we could change the rules, which we're always changing the rules. You know, we talk about changing the rules. It sounds like when I was in Indianapolis, every Friday, me and Peyton would go out and play a goalpost game, and he couldn't beat me, so he used to change the rules. He was masterful at that, so... you know what? I'm going to take the Buckeyes. Give me the Buckeyes over Georgia.
What?
Wow.
Okay, Kelly.
Swing
I see
and
you.
A miss.
I see. Come on, you going to say swing and a miss?
I mean, look,
it's your Buckeyes,
six
man.
Six and a half.
Oh, that is right.
Oh my goodness.
That is right. No, I forgot I went to the University.
Oh,
Ohio
my goodness.
State, yes, a six and a half Chris. Dog. That's what I have, Chase. Is that,
I forgot,
is that
man. I forgot. My bad.
Oh, man. Do you know who you played professionally for?
Cleveland. I mean, come on. It's one of those teams. No, I'm just kidding. I just forgot I went to Ohio State, man.
There's something I want. There's a joke
Eddie,
I want to make. But
Eddie would be ashamed of you, man. Coach Eddie would
be
ashamed of
my
you,
bad.
Man.
Oh, man, my bad.
Over and over again, that's what makes it so frustrating. We're losing to a guy who's not
a fan. Oh, my goodness.
This is a recurring theme. Ohio State is a 6.5-point dog against Georgia in the national semifinal, which will be in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl coming up Saturday at 5. All right, let's move on to Plaz, who is absent. And it will be young Nick Kieser to make the pick.
Hey, Willie.
Yes, Nick.
Do we have a Ball State at all in a bowl game?
Ball State? No.
I'm not seeing it on the slate.
Okay. Well, I did my best George impression, guys, but I'm just going to go ahead and make my pick. All right. Well,
not a bad. Not bad.
Since I'm picking for Plaz, I don't know. I'm seeing this South Carolina over Notre Dame as a good pick. What do you guys think? They have him plus +3 over Notre Dame.
It's not a bad pick.
Notre Dame.
I like it, really.
Pretty solid.
I like that pick. It's a good pick.
I have 3.5. What do you have, Chase, officially?
Three.
Superbook.
Three
sport.
Is the official.
Three? All right. So the Gamecocks at 8-4, a pair of ranked teams. That's the Tech Slayer Gator Bowl down in Jacksonville. So he will go with South Carolina, 3 against the Fighting Irish. All right, we move on to D-Mace. This is the key part of the competition.
D-Mace
having to do the math. He's got 96.5. He's got to get a minimum of 111.5 to have any shot.
Grease lightning, go, grease lightning, go, grease lightning, it's still up there, he laughed, trying. Grease lightning, go, grease lightning.
Willie's just like covering his head.
Grease lightning. Oh, man, that's the best part of the show right there. I need the point. Gosh, I'm trying to debate on which one should I take because they both are 10.5 points, dog. 10.5 point dogs. I am going with the Syracuse Orange Men. In the Yankee Stadium Bronx Pinstripe Bowl. I'm going. I'm going. Well, going for a Pinstripe Bowl.
Dang, you won't have to wait long. The Pinstripe Bowl will be kicking off here in less than an hour.
So I made it. Yes.
Syracuse at 7-5. Yes, it is. It is eligible to be picked. It is not a Kelly Holt violation, a controversy from a few years ago where he picked the ball.
Wow.
And his team was up 14-0. So Minnesota is the 10.5-point favorite. So Syracuse, is it officially 10.5, Chase, on the Superbook Sports?
No, it's 11.
I'll take the 11. Yes.
It's 11.
Come on. Wow. Give me those
that's
11
crazy.
Points.
The official.
That is crazy.
We got to go official with Superbook, the sponsor. All right. So Yankee Stadium it is. Get your Yankee hat on. Get your Syracuse action going here, and let's see what happens in that one. All right. Now, Chris Sanders has a chance to react. He's in the lead. He's in the driver's. Let's see what he picks.
There we go. Yes, sir. May stick my pick, but I think I'm still going to be all right. I'm going to go with Oklahoma over Florida State.
That was my other pick.
I knew he was going to take that one.
Ah, I knew he was going to take that one.
Oklahoma is a 10-point dog.
Let's go. So, Chris Sanders not playing for the sticks. He's going for and maybe he's just trying to prevent Derek from. Well, yeah, I guess Derek has to pick a pro one anyway. So I this is interesting strategy here, Chris. But
yes.
Your guns. You're not changing your game.
Absolutely not.
Oklahoma, 10-point dog against Florida State in the Cheez-It Bowl, which is going on later today.
It don't sound tough, Cheez-It Bowl.
No, it really doesn't.
It's being played in Orlando. Tough. All right, so the Seminoles might have a few extra fans down there. All right, so Chase McCabe now has two picks.
All right.
As he tries for the seller.
Behold the king. The king of kings.
On your knee. All right, let's do this. Let's start with college. One semifinals off the board. Let's take the other one. Give me the Horned Frogs at TCU plus 7.5.
TCU against the Wolverines. 7.5-point dogs. That game will be played in the Fiesta Bowl out in Arizona. That's a 1 o'clock start. That's the early game, the first of the two semifinals. Undefeated Michigan. All right. And now on to the NFL. Chase,
Don't pick it, Chase.
In the NFL, I'm going to go to the Battle for Los Angeles. Which I think is an album, actually. Give me the Rams. Baker, we trust, plus 6.5 against the Chargers.
Baker Mayfield and the Rams trying to salvage some respectability here. They don't have a first pick anyway, so why not just try to win a couple games? Let's see if Baker Mayfield can stick as their quarterback. Chargers, of course, have a lot to play for. They've eked out a couple of wins here the last couple of games. All right, we move on to Chris Sanders now and his all-important pro pick.
This one's going to hurt because I know somebody wanted it. Steelers over the Ravens.
Didn't nobody want that game.
Come on, man. Hey, Steelers are hot, baby. You didn't want that game?
Nah, I didn't want that game. It ain't enough points for me. It ain't plus seven.
Steelers. I have 2.5. Chase, what do you have?
It's four.
2.5.
Two and a half.
Okay,
what are you looking at, Chris?
But see, Chris, if you get this, we'll have to see what D-Mace picks. That could put you over the top. But D-Mace now has the chance to react. He can look at what you picked and see what he wants to do.
There's not any big ones, and I'm not going out on a limb with, you know, like the Raiders.
Well, what about the boys playing tonight over at Nissan Stadium?
Yeah, heck,
that would
man.
Give you
come
points,
on.
Teammates. That could be the
No, I'm not doing that. I know.
And getting higher by the second.
Go for a D.
Nope, not doing it. Not doing it. give me the – you know what? I'm going with this pick. It might not – I'm going with the Raiders. Las Vegas Raiders.
Jarrett Stidham, huh?
Jarrett Stidham. I'm going with the Raiders. Give me them.
Okay, well, that does give you points. Now, the Raiders, of course, if you didn't hear it yesterday.
Are they 10-point dogs, Chase, or yours? 9.5 Okay.
9.5 The Raiders are, and I don't know the whole story, but Derek Carr stepping away. He will not, was he benched? And
they
then
benched
stepping
him.
Away, or is there something going on? They just flat out benched him? That's what I thought.
Yeah, he was benched.
But he's stepping away from the team. Why?
According to ESPN, Raiders benched Derek Carr, QB to step away from team, avoid distraction, sources say.
What is that? I don't understand that at all. I've got to step away. I don't want to be a distraction because
it's
I'm going
like
to throw my helmet. What?
Yeah, it's like Mariota in Atlanta. He's pissed off. He got benched. And now, I mean, if he's using the premise of he's avoiding distraction, okay, whatever. But that's what it is. He's mad he got benched.
Real classy.
The way up
all right.
the world.
So you got 9.5 for the Raiders. So D-Mace has a maximum. He could get, if he gets Syracuse and the Raiders, he would get 20.5 points. That would put him ahead of Chris.
Ooh.
Chris could get 2.5 from the Steelers, and he could also get 10 from Oklahoma. So we'll wait and see on how that plays out. We'll get the first part of the equation later today. Now on to Plaz and Kelly for the final picks. Plaz, what do you got?
Well,
Plaz, Nick.
Yes. Willie? Yes. Well, I'm going to go with someone that George has taken a few times this year. I'm going to take the Chicago Bears +6 over the Detroit Lions.
Bears trying to play the spoiler. Josh Fields had a big offensive game against the Lions the first time, but as has been the case with a number of his games, good numbers and then just a couple of mistakes late. And Detroit eked that one out. The Lions at 7-8, still mathematically alive. So the Bears, is it officially 6, Jace?
It is.
All right. And finally, Kelly Holcomb with the final pick of 2022.
I won with this team a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to do it again. I'm going to say the Panthers beat the Bucks.
The Panthers at 6-9, still mathematically alive, down in Tampa. And what is the line, Chase, officially? Is it 3?
3.
Panthers 3 at the Bucks. The Bucks, man, you talk about tough sledding. It is hard to watch them right now, but they still finding ways to win just enough. So will the NFC South have a team with a winning record? Same kind of question as the AFC South these days. All right, let's quickly review. Week 18, Kelly Holcomb selects Ohio State, a 6.5-point dog against Georgia in the semifinal. Plaz takes South Carolina, a 3-point dog against Notre Dame. D-Mace takes Syracuse, an 11-point dog against Minnesota. That game is about to start here in less than an hour. A huge game for D-Mace. He needs it to stay alive in the competition. Chris Sanders can put it away if Oklahoma is able to pull the upset against Florida State down in Orlando. Oklahoma, a 10-point dog. Chase has TCU, a 7.5-point dog against Michigan. Chase trying to move out of the cellar and finish out of last place. He'll need the Horned Frogs or the Rams, who are 6.5-point dogs against the Chargers in the Battle of L.A. Chris Sanders has the Steelers, a 2.5-point dog against the Ravens. That's got to be the lowest point total he's ever tried to pick. But he's just trying to move forward to stay ahead of D-Mace and seal the title. D-Mace takes the Raiders, 9.5-point dogs against the 49ers. They're flipping quarterbacks. Plaz takes the Bears, a 6-point dog up in Detroit against the Lions. And Kelly Holcomb has the Panthers, 3-point dogs against the Buccaneers in an important game in the NFC South. You can play online one more time with us on thegamenashville.com. Pick your three games before kickoff on Saturday. Those are our picks for Week 18. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure all year. We'll wrap it up after it's all over in 2023. And, gentlemen, one more time, good luck.
Yeah, whatever.
Hey, again, I wish you guys nothing but happiness and health in this new year. But I hope y'all lose y'all games, okay?
Happy New Year, fellas.
Happy New Year, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, you too, fellas. Appreciate you.
Chris Sanders, Kelly Holcomb joining us. George Plaster gets he's absent.
He gets a mulligan.
Unexcused absence.
Oh, it's unexcused.
For George Plaster, yes. But that's okay. Coming up next, I do want to talk about this Derek Carr situation because it's interesting. And yes, I've already seen it on the text line from a few Titans fans. So we got to address that for sure. More coming here. Chase Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Chase Willie D. Mace presented by Hair Club. Love your hair, live your life. Creating custom hair loss solutions for men and women. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason at Almost Friday here in downtown Nashville. And again, you can stop by, say hello. A couple of people have dropped in. They have pregame happy hour from 3 to 6. Game night menu throughout the game. Plus, they're giving away a merch bundle, a hoodie, a shirt, and an Arctic thermos. So come by, say hello. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. Willie's in Anaheim. Predators will take on the Ducks tomorrow. A 3 o'clock pregame, 4 o'clock puck drop that you can hear right here on 102.5, 106.3 the game. So Derek Carr no longer the starter for the Raiders. Basically, that means his time in Vegas is over, if I had to guess. He stepped away from the team to avoid a distraction. And whenever, you know, especially when the team we talk about here, the Titans, are losing and just having a bad time, I was waiting for it. When I heard that news yesterday, I'm like, okay, here comes the crowd that's going to go, oh, replace Tannehill with Derek Carr. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, I don't view that as an upgrade whatsoever. This organization has a lot of other problems other than the quarterback. The quarterback's the least of my worries there. I wouldn't do that. So I think that's just a waste of time to really spend much time on that. But you guys are entitled to your opinion as well. What do you think?
I don't know if this came out of nowhere. I don't know if this was being rumored there in Las Vegas. I don't know. You know, obviously, you know, that team and their beat writers, they probably know a little bit more than what we – well, they do know a little bit more than what we know. So I wonder if this was something that had been speculated in you know, throughout the town, that if Derek Carr doesn't pick up his game, that he could potentially be benched in place of Jared Stidham. But it did come as sort of a surprise, considering mathematically the Raiders are still in the playoff hunt. It's highly unlikely they make it, but from a mathematical standpoint, they're still in play. And you figure, if we're still in play, why then do you move away from your starting quarterback, who you redid the deal and gave him $121 million extra dollars? Now, granted, they can still cut him this year and save $30 million. So that contract or that restructure they gave him at the beginning of the season really was nothing. It was just money on paper and not necessarily something that would, you know, prevent them from moving on from him. Whatever he's done this season hasn't been good enough for a roster that is talented. But can we blame it all on Derek Carr? You know, Josh McDaniels, you know, his first stint as a head coach was a debacle, and it seems like his second stint as a head coach is also going to be a debacle. He's choosing to turn to a guy that he's familiar with, Jared Stidham. He was with the New England Patriots when Josh McDaniel was there. So I think he was there when they drafted Stidham, so he knows him very well. So I guess he's going with the guy that he helped coach, and, you know, that he believes that can – you know, pull this team out of sort of the inconsistencies they've been at. Derek Carr has over 3,500 yards, 24 touchdowns, but he has thrown a lot of interceptions this year. And you just wonder, Willie, with this team, with all of this talent on this team, why are they in the position that they're in now?
Yeah, it's puzzling to me. That really just dropped out of the sky when I saw that. I you know, I don't follow that team closely. You know, they were right on the verge of pulling off a win on Christmas night against Pittsburgh. If they win that game, and this is a big if, but that would have been 5 wins in 6 games. So this is a team that's been the only loss was the other one that they absolutely gave away to Baker Mayfield and the Rams. They should have won that game. So they've been playing much better. So I don't. This is weird. Now, he hasn't had huge games during those contests. In fact, he's racked up some interceptions here. So his last five games, even though the team is playing better, he's had in the last five games 2-1-2-1-3 with interceptions. So that's a problem. He also, Derek, you might have mentioned this. There's an out. I'm looking at SpotRac. There's an out in his contract after the year, so they could easily walk away and move in a different direction with not a lot of dead money against them. So
but aren't they one of the teams that Willie? Aren't they one of the teams that are so cap strapped right now that you know even if they try to you know. Other than probably Derek Carr, if they tried to move away from any other contracts, as well as the contract of the head coach, they couldn't?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess they figure they can't trade him. Mm-hmm. You know, that otherwise, you know, I guess they can make this decision at the end of the season. He's not cut per se, right? He's, quote, stepping away. I don't know who the backup is. You know, that's an interesting one. But you're Josh McDaniels. You're probably sitting there going, okay, this is my first year. We had a bad start. We're playing better. What about next year? And what about the following year? Stidham is interesting to me, though. Does he really view Stidham as the answer? That's
no.
What do you guys think
can't.
Of him?
No, he doesn't view Stidham as the answer.
But he was a part of the coaching staff that drafted him in 19.
Yeah. I think.
But don't you want to win these last couple of games and just sort of ride it out and finish strong? And you think Stidham is better than Carr? I mean, something must be going on behind the scenes there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I think it's interesting if, you know, is McDaniels going to survive this? I mean, Nathaniel Hackett got fired and didn't even complete a season.
Mm-hmm.
And Russell Wilson comes out and says he's heartbroken by it. Give me a break. But I look at this for the Raiders. They have nothing. They have no chance of making the playoffs. They have nothing to play for anymore except for a pick. You know, just tank at this point. I respect the fact that you have the thought of, hey, wins finish strong and all that. And maybe the players will do that. Maybe they'll rally around Stidham and they'll figure out a way to do that. But you got to look towards the future now. The coaching carousel in the NFL is a lot more interesting this year than I thought it was going to be, and it's getting more interesting because you had, you know, Hackett, who was a first-year head coach. You had Carr that You had McDaniels that, you know, came in, and I thought that the second time around was going to be better for him, and that's just simply not the case. And so now you're going to have, you know, potentially – look, the Sean Payton sweepstakes is about to heat up.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's coming back. That's the rumor is he's already putting together a coaching staff.
That was being put out there a lot by Troy Aikman on Monday night. And, of course, the Colts would be in this hopper as well, you would think, for the Sean Payton sweepstakes. And it's now ringing a bell. I think what you're referring to, Derek, and I guess there was that report how many weeks ago about, hey, even if they wanted to fire Josh McDaniels, they don't have enough cash to pay him out there. Like, it does bring to mind something we talked about in Nashville as well. The old school family owned teams, the Raiders and the Titans would figure into that. There's less of them, right? There's the ones that go back generations,
mm-hmm.
right? It's much more, they tend to be a little more cash poor. They're not able to just write big checks for signing bonuses and dead money and things like that. And it does come into play. And I think it was about a year ago around this time, maybe just under a year ago when we had that report from Chris Mortensen and he was talking about that very thing. Up until then, I'd honestly never thought about it. I never thought NFL teams would have trouble doing what they wanted to do financially. But I do. I guess that comes into play sometimes.
By the way, there's already a report of the odds of the starting quarterback for the Raiders next year. Care to take a guess?
Who will be Brady?
I'm going
Tom
to Brady. Vegas on Saturday, Chase, if you want me to put some ducats down.
Put some ducats down on number 12, reuniting with Josh McDaniels.
Come on.
That's what I would say at this point. I'll retract my Jets pick, and I will say the Raiders.
Mm.
Makes the most sense.
Well, that did what was the Gronk or whatever, there was the report that said it was all but done, right? That Brady was going to come to the Raiders, and then it got nixed for one reason that I can't remember. But
and that was supposedly the MF-er that Brady was talking about, that it was Carr. That was when he, you know, when he was on the shop or whatever it was, that was the quote where that came from. Coming up next, a lot of you want to weigh in on this. If you're just tuning in, Josh Dobbs will start for the Titans tonight against the Cowboys. Get your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Also, Elliot Friedman coming up at 1 and a special announcement at 1:30. Here on Chase, William D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason in Nashville at Almost Friday, 4th in Peabody in the Holiday Inn, and Willie Donick in Anaheim, California. In case you missed it, Josh Dobbs will start. It's pretty much everywhere now for the Titans tonight. No Derrick Henry, it looks like. A lot of guys that are going to be out. And, you know, my take on it is, people have been asking on the text line, you know, have we talked about this? We have. Mm-hmm. We'll get back into it because a lot of you want to weigh in. They got nothing to lose, so why not go ahead and start it? Jill Jelnick of Fox 17 put a poll up on her Twitter account that says, you know, how do you feel about it? And she says, great, give it a shot. Not good. What do we have to lose? I look at it like that. What do you have to lose? This game means absolutely nothing to you. It means everything to Dallas and nothing for you. No matter what happens, next week is winner take all against Jacksonville for the AFC South. So if you're unsure about Ryan Tannehill and his availability and his health, with which I would say you're very unsure about Ryan Tannehill right now, give Willis the week off. Go to Dobbs. See what you got as a backup for him, not necessarily as a replacement for Willis, and play with this XFL roster that you're going to put out there tonight and move on.
Yeah, I wonder what the conversation was like with Malik Willis, because like pitchers and, you know, whether it be your point guard, you know, certain positions you have to sort of proceed with caution because you don't want it to damage whatever confidence they may have. So I wonder what the conversation was like with Malik Willis when he was told that he wasn't going to be the starter, because he's probably thinking like everyone else is. Listen, this game doesn't matter anyway, so why aren't you starting me? Why aren't you letting me get another opportunity to redeem myself? And I'm sure some of it had to do in what Vrabel said was, listen, we just don't think, you know, that this roster, you know, gives you the best opportunity to show what you can truly do. If they approached it like that, then okay.
And I think that's what
How they probably approached it. But if they chose to approach it any other way, man, this could kill whatever confidence this young man has. And frankly, some people might say, we don't care. And, hey, you would, you know, that's your opinion. You would be right. But then there are others that say, hey, well, listen, let the young man go out there and work through what he needs to work through. So I wonder what happens, Willie, if the game isn't going any better than it was with Malik Willis. Do they then go to Malik Willis in the middle of the game or at the end of the game?
You know, what I threw out to you guys earlier this week was I thought that maybe you think about Josh Dobbs for a half. Mm-hmm. You start Willis, and then you go to Dobbs for the second half. But the fact that they're starting Dobbs, I think, says a lot. And I think the assessment is that Malik Willis, you know, in regards to the confidence, I just think his confidence has to be low right now. I think they must have assessed he's just not ready to help them right now. So let's take a step back to hopefully take a couple of steps forward down the road. And maybe next week they have to turn around and say, you know what, Malik Willis is our better of the two options. But they have to find out in the meantime about Josh Dobbs. But I do wonder right now, he's been so ineffective when you get down to it, especially with what's around him, that I think it's this. Look, we have no choice. You know, they had a choice. But the better choice is to just see what we have with Josh Dobbs. You absolutely have nothing to lose. And we try to answer the question, who gives us the better chance of beating Jacksonville in the game that you have to win?
615-737-1025. Adam wants to weigh in on Josh Dobbs on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Adam.
Hey, Chase. I look at it like I do like the what have you got to lose, but I feel like Josh, I'm a huge UT fan too, man, you know that. But
yeah.
I still don't feel like this is a very fair assessment, like a situation for him. I'm happy he finally gets his chance to play, but you're going out there with this team. Like, it's all I just want to see, like, a solid quarterback. You know, like, the guy got the ball out of his hands whenever there's a blitzer coming around the corner about to cream him. Like, Malik would have took a hit or rolled out. I want Josh to get rid of that football. I want him to check the ball down. If he's making smart decisions, because he's – I mean, Malik come from Liberty. He was at Liberty last year. Josh spent a career behind really good quarterbacks. So he should be a solid veteran backup quarterback out there. We should see good decisions. So that's what I want to see tonight.
Okay, thanks, Adam.
Thanks, appreciate Adam. It. Appreciate it. And, you know, Adam makes a good point. You just want to see consistent, good quarterback play from this team. And I don't think under this circumstance you are going to get that with Malik Willis. You know, him being a rookie, you know, the pace of the game, the speed of the game, trying to work through this play calling and his offensive coordinator. So there's nothing that in this situation that's favorable to Malik Willis. There's really nothing favorable to Joshua Dobbs either, but at least Joshua Dobbs, he's been a backup in this league for a few years, for 3 or 4 years. But nothing about this situation is favorable to either quarterback, especially Malik Willis.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, and I'm glad you brought that up, because Josh Dobbs is not being put in a great situation either.
Exactly.
Because
no, but he's got to prove – but I would spin it, if I'm Josh Dobbs, a different way. Look, he's been fighting to get a chance, and you got to take the chance. It's not – you're right. He's not on a loaded roster or anything like that, but he's got to try to prove he belongs in the league. Malik Willis, whether he played in this game or whether he plays next week, he's going to be on the team next year, I think, right? But I like we've been saying, it's like the young rookie pitcher who comes up to the big leagues and gets thrashed all over the park. You have to, at some point, just assess he's not ready right now. It doesn't mean he won't ever be ready, but right now I just don't see anything he's doing well. And it can't be helping his confidence right now. He's not running the ball. That should be the thing you think he could do, right? A Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson. He's nothing near those guys in terms of his feel for when to run, getting big yards. He's had a couple of good runs, but nothing close to impactful when you couple it with he's so limited in the passing game. So if you're Dobbs, you got to say, yeah, call my number. I'm in. I got to prove I can play in this league. And I haven't gotten a chance in however many years he's been in the league. How long has he been in the league? 5 years?
I think this is it his fourth or fifth?
I think fifth, because when 2016 is last.
Yeah, so beggars here. Can't be choosy, right? I mean, he's got to take what he can get and just hope that he can look good for a couple of quarters and win a job.
Coy in Clarksville, why can we make quick changes to the quarterback, but Daly is still the left tackle? Anyone off the street, please?
It's a fair question. They've been looking for a long time. I mean, I cannot assume that they just overlook that, right, and say, Daly will be okay. Like, I think they look every week to see if there's something better, but they just don't feel like there is.
Here's a question for you guys. And Wes in Clarksville has inspired this, so I'll give him credit for that. How many times do we hear Rocky Top in that stadium tonight? You know they got to play it at least once.
Yeah, but that's usually something they already have in the queue. Everything.
Oh, sure,
set up.
But I mean, you got to. Yeah. Like Wes said they need to play Rocky Top during the intros. I mean, you got to get something. out of the crowd today?
I mean, I don't – hey, whatever it takes to get this crowd, whatever crowd that's going to be at the game tonight, to get them going, it may be just a bunch of Cowboy fans.
Yeah, and, you know? And a texter says, don't forget, this is going to be a Cowboys home game. Crowd noise will be an issue for Dobbs. I do have the hats. I'm going to put the hat on.
I do think it's safe to say. Don't we think it's safe to say the Cowboys will have more fans than the Titans tonight?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Will they have one extra tonight or one less? Who knows? We'll find out at the end of the show how that's going to go. But coming up next, we're going to talk to Elliot Friedman. Be good to chat with him about all things NHL and Preds. We'll do that next here on Chase Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.